thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Will T. What's good, Will?
Nothing much. Shalom. How are you?
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. I feel that. What did you call yourself when we were doing our group text?
Oh, Black Thor.
Dude, where'd that come from?
Yeah, it's a serious situation under this shirt. I'm not going to unleash it upon everyone. I don't want people to feel bad about themselves.
I love it, man. I love it.
But there's a serious situation up under
this. My man. That's what I'm gonna say. Hey, we got a guest, but I want to. So, Will T, let's hurry up our introduction.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here are our topics. We'll have WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovich on. Ain't Ed Frankovich on the show to talk about the Caps Stanley Cup matchup with the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Caps are up 3-1 in the series and are one win away from winning the Stanley Cup. At 8:20, we'll talk about the NBA Finals with Troy Halliburton from Truth About It. At 8:30, we'll discuss if the Washington Nationals should make a play for Orioles shortstop Manny Machado. At 8:40, we'll talk about what Alabama coach Nick Saban said about rookie inside linebacker Sean Dion Hamilton. Finally, at 8:50, we'll discuss where the Capitals would rank among DC's sports teams if they win the Stanley Cup. But first, right now, we have Ed Frankovich from WNST's. He is the Washington Capitals insider. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, guys. Can you believe this? One win away from the Cup?
No, I cannot believe it. I mean, dominating a team like Las Vegas is a team that's had the story of being one of the best teams in the NHL, especially how they ran through the Western Conference and playing the Capitals. The Capitals look so much better. They're actually making Las Vegas look like an expansion team.
Yeah, the Capitals have played very, very solidly in their own end. They've had some hiccups, game ones, just a lot of rust, but they've had some timely scoring and they've done a good job of what they've done all playoffs. When the Capitals get a lead, they're very good at locking it down, and they've blocked a lot of shots. There's been a lot of commitment. I've never seen a team of the Washington Capitals be so close like this group is. And you see Alexander Ovechkin blocking shots and diving to get the puck out. And it's been infectious, and everybody's doing it. And the whole team's bought in, and they're a loose bunch. They're a confident bunch. And when they play the right way, they're very hard to beat, especially the way Kuznetsov's going and Nicholas Backstrom is shutting down the top line of Vegas. And hope he's doing the job in net.
So last night in game four, the Caps defeated the Golden Knights 6-2, putting them again one win away from winning the Stanley Cup. What were your thoughts on that game?
Well, I thought the Capitals came out very poorly, and they were very fortunate because Riley Smith had an open net early on and shot it over the net, missed his chance, and then Vegas got a power play, and it looked like James Neal definitely was going to score, and somehow the puck hit the post and bounced out, and mm-hmm. The Capitals cleared it. And so they could have easily been down 2-0 there, guys, or at least 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eller draws a trip in the neutral zone. This is a terrible penalty by Colin Miller. It's just an awful play in the neutral zone. And the Capitals, whose power play didn't really click in game three, they were 0-4,
mm-hmm.
Just kicked it into gear and scored. And Kuznetsov makes a great rush up the ice and shoots and hits Fleury and Oshie, puts it in, and the crowd just erupted. It was amazing in there. And the Capitals fed off the energy and just bombed them down the last 10 minutes of the first period. And really, Wilson scores on a great cycle goal. And then Devontae Smith-Pelly, a beautiful skate to the stick, top shelf shot on a great feed from Matt Niskanen. That really, really deflated Vegas. Mm-hmm. Vegas had the great start, and they were down 3-0. And they made a little push in the third period, but really the game was won there in the first period. The Capitals definitely got the bounces, but they also, the goals they scored, they earned. They earned the breaks that they got, as Braden Holtby said afterwards.
I like the change in the power play compared to what I saw in game three. In game four, I thought Backstrom wasn't as passive. I thought he was overly patient. And also, I like how they switched Carlson and Ovechkin. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, very good observation. What was happening is Vegas has just been putting a guy in shadowing Ovechkin wherever he goes. They're not going to let Ovechkin beat him on the power play. So Blaine Forsythe, who's the assistant coach and coaches the power play, put a little wrinkle on the second power, because the first power play, they scored quickly on a rush goal. So they never really had to get set up because mm-hmm. he carried it in and scored. But the second one, they switch Carlson and Ovechkin because they're slanting to Ovechkin. So he draws a defender up top. And the big play was really made in front. The puck was being moved around pretty well. And TJ Oshie, like he always does, seems to win a puck battle. And he wins the puck battle, and he gets it to Kuznetsov. And because Vegas's forward is outshadowing Ovi, there's a big lane across the ice. And Kuznetsov makes a great one-time east-west pass to Carlson. Carlson just slams it home by Fleury, and that made it 4-0. That was a really big adjustment there that they made. A nice wrinkle, as Carlson called it afterwards. They took the Vegas defender out of the way, made it effectively a 4-on-3, and Fleury just has no chance on a shot like that.
I like to give you credit when credit's due. You've been like so pro Braden Holtby, and he's been probably, to me, the best goalie in the postseason. If you look at the totality of things, we look at what he did against Columbus, the Penguins, and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and now obviously what he's doing here against the Golden Knights. I feel like in this series, if you look at some of the commentary and comparing him to Fleury, to the other goaltender, I forgot his name, I'm having a moment.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, Fleury, thank you. Fleury, it's like when the Capitals are playing solid defense, when he's playing solid, it's okay, the defense is the reason why Holtby's looking good. On the other side, it's that Fleury is just that much better because, you know, he doesn't have great defense. I want you to elaborate on that for me because I don't get that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Holtby's been dynamite. Holtby's bailed this team out all playoffs. He's made the huge saves at the key times, and the defense has been good, don't get me wrong, but any guy on that team will tell you that the last line of defense, Braden Holtby, is the key to the playoffs. The goaltending is the key, and we had this discussion. Mm-hmm. You asked me this before we went in the playoffs in 2017, does Braden Holtby have to be the best guy? And I gave you the wrong answer. I said he didn't, and then this year, and he wasn't. He was not their best guy, and they had a lot of pressure, and they struggled in 2017. And Fleury was the best guy for the Penguins against the Caps, and that's why they won. This year, Braden Holtby has been the best guy. He has been their best player. He's made the big save when they've needed, and he deserves a lot of credit. So the fact that someone's trying to give credit to the Caps defense, yes, they played very good team defense, but every man will tell you the big saves. Remember the big save he made on Palat?
Oh, good.
When it was 2-0, or was it Palat or Killorn on the breakaway when it's 2-0 in Tampa in Game 7. That puck goes in there, and you don't know how that game turns out. Holtby has made that key save one-on-one. He's had a lot of one-on-one saves in this series. And he is the biggest reason they are where they're at.
No, I agree. Arguably, if it wasn't, I feel like if he didn't give up two goals last night, say he gave up one goal, I think you're looking at a guy who can win the Smythe Trophy. I think now it looks more like it can go towards Kuzi or Ovi. Speaking of Ovi or Kuzi, if the Capitals did win it all on Thursday, say they do win it all, who would be your Smythe? Who would get the Smythe Trophy?
Well, I think any of those three guys are definitely the top choices, and I think it would be Alexander Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of his production. I think it's because of his leadership and what he's done in these playoffs and how he's rose at the big moments, right? He's peaked his game when he's had to. The big goal early in Game 7 against the Lightning. The great back check he makes against Pittsburgh to spring Kuznetsov for the goal. I mean, Kuzi's been fantastic. I can't take anything away from that guy. He scored a lot of points. But what Ovechkin's done, and with the blocking shots and getting everybody to buy in and just leading this team, he's worn his emotions on his sleeve. He's just done everything you could ask of a guy in these playoffs. I've watched his press conferences. His answers have been all about the team, not about him. He's going to win. And they took a poll of the Canadian media at Game 4. And if the Capitals win, Ovechkin will win. But you could make a case for Kuznetsov, and you could make a case for Braden Holtby easily as well.
Because arguably you could say that Kuzi's been the best player for the Caps. Offensive players, put it that way. Offensive player. Right? Would you say that? He was the best offensive player?
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's just been dynamite. Mm. And keep in mind, and when Backstrom went out, he really stepped his game up, and Barzeller did as well. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that one of the advantages Kuznetsov has is he's got that second center, Nicholas Backstrom. Nicholas Backstrom, his job in this series is not to put up a lot of points. His job, but he had three assists in Game 4. His job is to prevent the Jonathan Marchessault, William Karlsson, and Riley Smith line, the top line for Vegas, that has steamrolled the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Marchessault had a huge series against Winnipeg. Nicholas Backstrom, even with the messed up hand, he's not 100%, but he's still playing great. Sure. His job was to go out and match up against that line and shut them down, and they have done that. Backstrom, Oshie, and Jacob Perana have done a great job against that Vegas top line, and that's another reason why the Capitals are winning the series 3-1.
And can you talk about Oshie a little bit? Like, I knew Oshie was good, but watching, I mean, the Stanley Cup Finals, he's amazing. In terms of his stick work, he's amazing. His footwork, he's amazing. Even for a guy who's physical, too.
Another great observation. You really know the game. That's what I love about Alame, and I talk about Oshie all the time. We love his tenacity, his ability to win the puck on the boards or in neutral ice with his stick. His coordinate, you know, he'll go to one knee and still be able to get it. It's just years and years of practice. He has unbelievable hand-eye coordination. That's why he's so good in the shootout. We all remember the Olympics in 2014 when he beat Russia with the shootout. Mm-hmm. But he's tenacious. He's physical. He is great at getting body position to win a board battle. Just a fabulous hockey player. He's got a great shot. I wish he would shoot a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
But he goes to the net. He gets in there. He gets under guys' skins. You saw him and Colin Miller. They've been battling this whole series.
Mm-hmm.
And Vegas coach Gerard Gallant was whining a little bit after game four, saying, oh, she broke his nose on that hit back. But, you know, that's hockey. You know, and who knows if he did or not. And Miller's been embellishing some things in the playoffs. But I'll take his word for it. But those two guys have been going at it the whole playoffs. And Oshie's just a one-of-a-kind guy. That's why I definitely wanted the Capitals to re-sign him. Brian McClellan says he's very well-liked in the locker room, very popular. And he's just another guy that just was a perfect fit to the puzzle here.
No, I agree. I think, he stood out. If you look at what he's brought in terms of skill level, arguably, you watch just by watching this series between him and Kuznetsov has shown so much skill. Ovi's Ovi. I think we all can expect what we see from Ovi. But I think if any hockey fan or new hockey fan, they watched watching Oshie, they would think, okay, this guy's up and coming. This guy is somebody who can be more one of the more dominant players, and he's just having a great run. I just like his physicality and his skill set.
It's something you absolutely need. I mean, hockey is. It's such a game of winning the little battles, all these little puck battles, all these board battles, and getting position and winning those little battles to set up chances. And he's just a guy you have to have on your team to do that. And you look at the skill the Capitals have. I mean, Vegas is a very nice team. They put together a very hardworking, a team that follows their system and plays the right way, to be honest, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they get ahead. When they get behind, they have to press a bit, and that's where they get themselves in trouble. But they have no choice. But the Capitals are winning the series because they have a higher-end skill. You look at Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie. I mean, Vegas has some nice players, but they don't have these elite guys. They were given a lot of good players, but they weren't given first-line players, and that's where the difference is.
And also, I want to see if you agree with me. I just feel like when you look at what the Caps had, the gauntlet the Caps had to go through in terms of goaltending and even speed, I think that it put them in a good situation to be ready for a fast team and a team with a good goaltender like Vegas. If you look at Columbus, they had one of the better goaltenders in hockey. If you look at Pittsburgh, they had speed and skill. You look at Tampa, they had one of the better goaltenders and speed. And then now into this series, they're going against a good goaltender and speed. I felt like the Caps were prepared for this series.
Yeah, very good points. I would agree with you 100%. I mean, you go through Bobrovsky, Murray, and Vasilevsky, and now Fleury. I mean, those are all good goalies. And then, you know, I think Tampa had just an incredible team with Victor Hedman on defense and Kucherov and Stamkos up front and some grinders. That was a really, really tough series, as was Pittsburgh. I mean, Crosby and now Malkin had the knee injury, so he wasn't 100%. But, you know, Backstrom missed some games with a broken hand in that series. Wilson was suspended. The Capitals have gone through some very good teams and a lot of adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, along the way, you look, Vegas went, 12-3, and then they won the first game. They were 13-3. They really didn't get tested much in the playoffs. And Capitals, you know, beat them out there. That was a huge win in game two. I was out there in Vegas, and they gutted that one out without Kuznetsov, because remember he got hurt. Yes. Lars Eller stepped up and had the big 3-point game. And then they came home, and for the first time all playoffs, they won their first two home games in a series. They had not done that. And Oshie made the point, hey, we played well at home, but we just haven't scored. We haven't finished the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they finished the game against Vegas.
Sure did. Right now, we have WNST's Caps insider Ed Frankovic on the line. So, it's big game is Thursday night. I do not want the Caps to come back home. I don't. I wanted to end in Vegas. What do the Caps need to do to close this out on Thursday?
Well, I'm with you, too. Let's not give Vegas any momentum. I think the first thing they have to do is they have to protect the front of their net. Mm-hmm. That's how they win the game. And they didn't do that really well at the beginning of the game, and they were fortunate that Vegas didn't finish. If they protect the front of their net and have good puck management coming out of their own end, they're going to get chances against Vegas because they can beat that defense to the front of the other net. You see, they're getting a lot of goals on Fleury in close. Fleury's a great goalie, but they're getting in there. They weren't able to really get in close against Fleury when he was with Pittsburgh because he had a big defenseman like Brian Dumoulin, who was just outstanding, keeping guys out. Vegas doesn't have a Brian Dumoulin. So if the Capitals, I feel like if they can take care of their own end, manage the puck well coming out, then they have the skill and the size up front to get in front of Fleury and get those goals that he's just not going to have a chance to stop. That's what I think is the key to the game.
So, okay, so how about, because I've had an issue with the passing in their own zone. Do you have an issue with that too?
Well, yeah, that's when they get in trouble, when they start making those bad passes, mm-hmm. either or banking it off the boards and not getting out, especially when Vegas is pinching down. That's when I talk about puck management.
Gotcha,
they have got to do a good job with the passes coming out. You got to clear your own zone well because Vegas is a hard forechecking, fast, big. You see the guys like Alex Tuch is huge, Ryan Revis.
Fast
These
too,
guys come at you, and they come at you with speed. And if you make a bad pass, they're all over you. They swarm the puck. And that's why if you can make those first two passes and get out of your zone, now you got them chasing back the other way, and that's when you can get them out of position.
Well, Emmett, Ed, thanks for being on the show. Hopefully we can chat sometime next week with Caps victory. My goal is to be in the parade. I'll be at the parade, excuse me. That's my goal.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Hey, absolutely. I always have time for you guys. You let me know, and hopefully we're talking about the parade or the victory, whatever it is, or both. You know, hopefully we're talking about both.
Hopefully we're talking about both. That's the game plan. Well, thanks, Ed.
That would be awesome, guys.
Appreciate you, Ed.
Hey, anytime. You guys just hit me up anytime.
All right, thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Take care, Wally.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm, anytime.
All right. Again, that is Ed Frankovic from WNXT. He's the Capitals insider. You know, let's go Caps, man. You trying to go to the parade, man?
Real talk. I think this city needs something to celebrate.
Yeah.
So I would attend. I'm not going to say I'm a hockey fan.
Yeah,
I'm not going to even say that I'm a
Caps fan.
I've watched any of the NHL finals.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely go to a parade. I just think it would be a good vibe.
Yeah, you know, positive vibe.
Yeah, the city needs something to celebrate.
You mean, I felt like if you looked at what was going on outside of Verizon, it probably had more people than the president's inauguration.
No, I mean, I wasn't, to be honest with you, I wasn't even aware that all of those people were outside of Verizon.
Uh-huh.
Capital One.
Capital One. Yeah,
Arena.
Capital One, yeah.
Yesterday until I turned on the news today.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's truly electric. That's a special and magical thing to see all of those people who support the team and are fans, you know, stand outside and watch the game.
No, I'm with you. That, when I saw it, I was amazed. Like, even I went to see Solo at Verizon. They were Capital One, at Gallery Place, right?
Uh-huh.
And I drove up there, and this is when the Cowboys were in Vegas. They were in Vegas.
Was that movie any good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked the movie.
I'm still on the fence about checking it out.
I know. Hey, check it out. Seriously, it's good. The storyline is good. And you couldn't park in the Gallery Place parking lot. You couldn't park in there. They wouldn't allow you to.
Oh, wow.
And we're talking about this is a road. You know what I mean? This is a road game. This is not a home game. But, yeah, big up to the Caps. Big up to the city. The city's loving it. City's digging it. Before we go to break, did you have an issue with Bryce wearing the jersey? Everyone's, getting on that.
Absolutely not. Just like I didn't have a problem with John Wall wearing a Cowboys jersey to the Washington football team stadium to watch the game on the sideline. No, that's your team. That's who you support.
He's from Vegas.
He's from Vegas. He's a, you know, obviously this is the first year of existence for the Las Vegas hockey team. No, if that's his team, that's his team. Let him support his team.
I'm so with you. The Golden State Warriors are up 2-0 on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Troy Halliburton from Truth About It will join us to discuss the series. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this,
this point. You lit conception, I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see, know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert. And excellence mean an extra work. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff from the pleading case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth from the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Center. I'm Wally. Here my boy Will T. Ray is out. Oh, the Raiders had a busy day, so you know, real busy day.
I'm not gonna give him a
minute. No, of course not. No hard time, man. You know, no hard time. Just was a busy day for the man. All right, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Also, shout out to my man George. George, you listen to the show, man. We always support George. We thank George for supporting us. So yeah, thanks, George.
Appreciate you, George.
All right, so you've been watching. We're still waiting on Troy to call in, but you've been watching the series.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
I mean, we saw it. We saw game one, which was exciting, obviously.
Game one. I don't think people are talking about the best part of the game. The best part of the game was the press conference. The best part of the game was LeBron James throwing a temper tantrum.
In the sideline?
No.
Oh, the press conference. Oh, the purse?
A grown-ass 6'9 man standing up from behind the table, unwrinkling his dress pants shorts and grabbing his earphones and his merch.
Hey, bruh.
That was the funniest.
You see the ESPN that came out with a post of how much his wardrobe cost. Do you know how much his socks cost?
I don't care about
it. Bruh, but still, though, I'm just let you know this, man. It costs $90, dog. Socks cost $90. I would be, dude, if I'm an NBA player, I'm in Foreman Mills, dog. Foreman Mills!
I mean, if you got it, get it. You know, there's a saying that, you know, when you dress well, you play well.
And, yeah.
You know, but if that's what he chooses to spend his money on, LeBron James has earned the right to do such.
I
literally 27 times on replay.
Everybody has, man. It's the way he got
getting up. Yes.
It's the way he got up.
Getting up from the table, a big 6'9", 260-pound man getting up, wiping off the wrinkles out off of his dress pants shorts and grabbing his merch.
Look, I'm mad you calling him merch. Is that the correct terminology? Or
I don't
are you calling
know.
It?
I'm just what I'm calling it. It's a man purse to me. I call it a merch.
I mean, all it's the way he got up to me. When you watch it in slow motion, it's even worse, though. It really is. It's even bad if you watch it in slow motion.
That's why I told you. I watched it 27 times and I laughed harder a little bit.
But, man,
every time I
would be
it.
Pissed off too, though, man. You know, J.R. Smith pretty much almost cost that dude the game.
I respect that he didn't go up there and
throw
his teammate under the bus. That's leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the reporter had a job to do, but mm-hmm. you know, he told you, I don't know his mind state.
Yeah,
I didn't ask him about it. You kept pressing. I understand the frustration. That's probably. One of the toughest losses ever of his career.
Yeah.
Just because of the way it ended.
Because who the team is, too.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, yeah. Not only because the team, what your team is,
and what their team is. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I could understand his frustration, but like I said, I watched it 27 times, him getting up from that table and grabbing his merch and walking out.
It's funny.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's pure comedy. I don't know in the moment if he realized how he looked.
He didn't.
But I'm just telling you, it was hilarious. Pure comedy.
Hey, George just tweeted and said, Will T is going to give us a critique on fashion. Fashion for LeBron.
No, I'm not trying to critique LeBron's fashion. I'm just saying the visual of a 6'9" man that's 270 or 260 pounds,
mm-hmm.
an athletic freak, standing upset, like pouting and stampeding out of a press conference. But before he does that, he has to get up from a table
mm-hmm.
and unwrinkle his dress shorts and then grab his merch on the way out in his sunglasses.
You want to call it?
It's hilarious.
You want to call it for what you really think about it? Do you want to call it for what it is?
What?
It looks off. Just you know what? Let's just call it for what it is.
I don't know if he was aware of how it looked, but I'm just telling you, he looked charming.
He looked charming. Let's put it this way. He looked real charming. I'm being real PG-13 when I say charming. I'm being real G-rated when I say charming, but he looked real charming. You know I'm a LeBron fan. I'm a LeBron fan. You know, I love everything about LeBron's basketball game. But that press conference, man, I think anything in his life in terms of being a basketball player, that's a do-over. He wants that as a do-over.
Absolutely. That's definitely one of the top five moments of when he goes back and he reviews his career in a silent moment when he's by himself. The kids aren't around. The wife isn't around. The rest of his team Team LeBron isn't around. He sits back and he's like, "Damn, I would definitely do that."
Yeah, this can't be life. I can't do this. I can't do this again, ever again. So, do you think the Cavs are down 2-0 to the Warriors? They got blown out in Game 2. Is this series over?
It's not over mm-hmm. because LeBron's been down 2-0 before. We've seen him come back from 3-1. So no, it's not over. But and for not only that, and for the simple fact that Golden State themselves have had a lot of problems
on the road.
No, not on the road, but just if you look at the style of play outside of Game 2,
mm-hmm.
you saw Kevin Durant a lot of isolation.
I agree.
Then you also saw a lack of focus mm-hmm. and that killer mentality by the Golden State by the team as a whole. Now, you get Andre Iguodala back, who historically has been the team's best defender on LeBron mm-hmm. in the finals. So maybe that helps, you know, level him up a little bit. But no, it's not over just because I don't get a sense that this Golden State team is 100% locked in focus.
I would like to see them with Iguodala to see maybe if that makes them better. I think that compared to like last year, right, they look like nobody could touch him. I think this year, regardless for whatever reason it is, they don't look as dominant. They look good. Don't get it twisted. They look good, but they don't look as dominant compared to last year.
With Iguodala, I think the margin of error increases a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they come out that first game on the road and how Cleveland responds after having a couple of days of, you know, I would assume they put Game 1 behind them.
Yeah,
you never know how that lingers. Yeah. Now that you're back home in your own bed around your family, around your fans, I hope really it should dissipate. Any residuals from Game 1 should dissipate when you're back on your home floor.
Yeah, because I don't think they got over it in Game 2. I think they were trying to, but I don't think they really did. I think when you get home, probably, you know, you like to think that you're over Game 1. Because it happened, it's over. Nothing you can do about it. You know, so that play is pretty much done. But we're about to go to break. But when we get back from break, we'll talk about this. Should the Nationals make a play for Orioles shortstop Manny Machado? You listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
If you want red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting all comfortable. Look, I don't dance.
now, I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a bitch, I make bloody move. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at. You be, you run the club, just to party. I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them bands so much, I know they tired of me. Drop two mixtapes in 6 months, we're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these, don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say ghosts, I'm who they tryna be. Look, I might just chill on some babe, I might just chill with your boo, I might just spill on your babe. My feel like a lake, he wanna swim it, okay. I let him get what he want, he buy me Yves Saint Laurent and the new wave. When I go fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, Will T, Ray's out. Subscribe to our podcast, excuse me, on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. The Baltimore Orioles shortstop, Manny Machado, will probably be on the market. He is having a great season. He is also in a similar contract situation to Bryce Harper. Should the Nationals consider making a play for Manny Machado down before a stretch run?
Nope. Absolutely not. All right, explain why. Think about it twice.
All right, so I mean, explain why, because you're a Nats fan.
Because well, you put yourself in a very precarious situation, because to get Manny Machado, you're going to have to give up one of your two top prospects, mm-hmm. Juan Soto. Victor Robles is injured, so most likely it'll be Juan Soto. Mm. Now, we see what Juan Soto is doing now in the majors. I'm not going to say he's tearing it up, but mm-hmm. he's playing above and beyond what anyone could imagine he would have done this far.
Especially at 19,
yeah,
right?
19. Not only are you going to have to give up Juan Soto, you're probably going to have to give up one or two of your top pitching prospects.
Maybe. Or if you give up Trey Turner, then you won't have to. Because you manage a shortstop, so you think shortstop and shortstop.
But this is the thing. With Trey Turner, you have him under your control, what, another 2 to 4 years?
Oh, I totally agree. No, I totally agree. I get it.
Let's say you do have Manny Machado. You're left at the same situation. You're in a
similar
situation, which you are with Bryce Harper.
Because they're both free agents after the season.
They're both free agents, and they're both on a one big, large, relatively large contract.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? You're going to give up all those prospects just for a half a season mm-hmm. of a run? But in my opinion, I say you let Daniel Murphy come back. And how does Adam Eaton, how does he look when he comes back? Because if those two guys are clicking, then your lineup is very dangerous during the second half.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a stretch run. So, you know, teams are trying to improve situations and whatnot because, again, this is Bryce's – this could be. I don't want to say it is. It could be Bryce's last year in D.C. It's all up to the learners. That's all up to the learners. So, I can't put that
on
Bryce.
Plus, Trey Turner is playing at an all-star level.
He's an all-star. No, he is an all-star shortstop.
He's playing – yeah, he's –
But
most likely he will be the starting shortstop in the NL for this season.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I like Trey Turner. I've always been a big fan of Trey Turner. I guess, when you're looking down their stretch run, teams are always looking to improve. It's just like, for instance, prime example, when the Nats got Max Scherzer, it wasn't like a true need. Even when they just got him, because they just knew they could make their team. He makes their team better. You get a Manny Machado, he can make your team better.
Let me ask you this. Let me shift a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Has the D.C. area, have we ever seen the best player at their position? Because to me, it's without doubt Max Scherzer is the best player in his position.
I think Ovechkin has been the best player in his position. I think in this town,
without question, because
you got
question.
Crosby, it's hard because they're different positions. So in the position, yes, I think Ovechkin is a left wing, it's a right. I think it's a left winger, and Crosby is a center. So it's different. Are you talking about the best? Because that's a different question. You're talking about best picture. Max Scherzer is the best pitcher right now. Period.
Yeah.
And I agree, he's the best pitcher. Now, we're talking about Ovechkin, who's the best scorer. Ovechkin's the best scorer in the NHL.
No, I'm saying the best, like, when you look at best player and the best player.
Well, the best player, I wouldn't call Scherzer, I would call that Trout. Like, Trout would be the best player.
Well, excuse me, yeah, I guess best.
You know what I mean? So if I'm doing that way, I would say Ovechkin. You know what I mean? Because Ovechkin is the best winger. Okay. Like, he's been the best. Because Crosby arguably is the best player, right? People call Crosby the best player, but they play different positions because Crosby's the centerman. But they're both offensive. So I get what you're saying. You know what I mean? So it's hard. because, you know, the best player. I mean, the best pitcher.
He's been the best pitcher.
Well, Verlander is pretty good too, though. So I can.
Verlander's pretty good, but
he's the lowest ERA in baseball. So
but,
I mean,
yeah, but I don't think. But Scherzer, he's pretty much.
He's exciting.
Wrapped up a third straight Cy Young award.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. No, he's a great. No, Scherzer is what I like about Scherzer. I think anybody who watches him is the electricity, right? Is that not just the skill set, not just the dominance, right? But the electricity. You see the want, you see the passion. And I think that adds into the aura and the mystique of Max Scherzer. And which, you know, I think that he's probably, to me, to your point, in this area, he's good for DC. He is. He's great for DC. You know, but they're, like, you can say that for, like, to me, Ovechkin, in terms of the longevity, you can say Ovechkin. I always had this argument. I think Ovechkin's the absolute best. Baseball, I mean, the best, excuse me, I almost thought Soto hit a home run. I think Ovechkin's the best DC athlete in our lifetime. He probably been in our life, in our lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair.
You know, you have good stories. You know, people love Joe Theismann, but they're not in terms of superstar across the world. Yeah, the world or United States, because this hockey's pretty much it's the U.S. NHL's in the U.S. In the U.S.
In North America.
North America. Sports. Thank you. Sorry. In North America sports, Ovechkin is it over any skins, any bullets wizard, any Nationals, like Ovechkin is it in terms of any history of any franchise. People can say Sonny Jurgensen, but I mean Ovechkin is
D. Green.
Huh. Better than Del Green, man.
Yeah, no.
I love Del Green.
I was just throwing out a name.
Love Del. Better than Monk. Better than them all.
See, that's where you'll get some pushback on the Art Monk thing, because people will say, "Well, Art Monk was the receptions leader in the NFL history for a period of time."
Oh,
so that's where some people will give you some pushback.
Yeah, that's true. George just came out with unless you count Kyle Ripken. That's a little bit. Do we count Baltimore teams? Because then Ray Lewis would count. Are we counting Baltimore teams?
I mean, I guess you could count them. Yeah. They're in the area.
Yeah. Ray Lewis, but still, though.
This is where an argument arises for me, right? Cal Ripken, yes, the Iron Man, right?
I'm a Cal Ripken fan. That's my dude.
But for a while, I think it's fair. Well,
he was MVP.
He was an MVP.
I say twice or once. I don't want to say twice. I know. Yeah.
Won a World Series. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's when he was a rookie. Yeah, that was more when he was younger.
Can we truly say for a sustained period, Cal Ripken was the best player in baseball?
He was for like he had his moments when he was the best. He had his moments. But after, I want to say, 93, 94. He would have a couple years of being hitting decent, but he was pedestrian as a hitter.
Yeah, that's what I'm pedestrian saying. As a hitter. So what we say for like that sustained period of time, like
he's not like an Ovechkin. He's not even close.
Okay.
And I'm a Kyle fan. And look, I'm a big Kyle Ripken fan. Ovechkin is still getting 40 some odd goals, and he's like 33, 34. Kyle and Ovechkin are totally different. You know, when Kyle got older, Kyle's always been a great defensive shortstop, and they moved him to third base. He's always been a great defensive player, a Gold Glove caliber infielder. But Ovechkin is still, as an offensive player, he scares the living daylights out of any defenseman or player going against him. Pitchers weren't intimidated with Kyle Ripken. So, yeah. I mean, but that's a good point, though. I have to think about that. I didn't even include Baltimore. I need to start doing that, too. Because Ray Lewis would be in that conversation, too.
Absolutely.
Ray Lewis wasn't as dominant as anybody.
Yeah, Ray Lewis was the best at his
position. At his position.
Wow.
Easily. Some
people can make the argument he was the best defensive player.
Arguably, you could say someone could say he was the best player.
Yeah.
Not even just defense, just the best player, period. So when you look at – that's a good one, Wilty. I agree. That's a good one. Like Max Scherzer, that was a good one. That one came out of nowhere. See, Wilty, you the man.
Content, man. I'm a content king.
It's time for a break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about Alabama Nick Saban. He had some high praise for a Redskin rookie. We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hello, you can for me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the score, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You in the club, just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much, I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give up.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, Will T, Ray's out. Alabama coach Nick Saban said Redskins rookie inside linebacker Sean Dion Hamilton, who played at Bama, said Hamilton is very smart and makes players better around him. He added that he was good, he has good inline quickness and is very instinctive. What does that mean when Nick Saban says that about you?
Well, it can mean a couple things. It means that he's talking up one of his players for potential, because you always got to be recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Always be crew.
Yes.
ABC. Always be crew.
So true. So true.
So maybe he's just talking up one of his former players and, you know, in hopes of saying, hey, you know, look what I've done. You know, you come here, you can, we can, this machine that Alabama has can produce, put you in a position to be as good as Sean Dion Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very high praise for a defensive player, because we all know that Nick Saban's thing is defense.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research on Sean Hamilton, mm-hmm. and evidently he was class valedictorian in high school.
That means he's smart.
Yeah, so he, you know, playing that middle linebacker position, he's able to diagnose plays. They said, Nick Saban said he's able to pick up keys from mm-hmm. plays, and he's a great communicator. So, you know, also at the middle linebacker position, that's the guy who calls the plays for you and gets mm-hmm. everyone in the front seven lined up correctly.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the one thing about him is he is a bit undersized for the middle linebacker position for the NFL.
About 228.
Yeah.
6'6", 228.
I mean, you know, one year, you know, maybe he adds 10 pounds, you know, in an NFL weightlifting regime, specifically next offseason. You know, when he has a full offseason cycle.
If he makes the team, he's a sixth-rounder, right?
Yeah, if he makes the team. I think he would make the team.
I think so, too. I think so, too. But still, you have to say that.
Specifically at special teams.
Yeah. That's going to be a start. That's going to be a start, definitely.
That's where he'll make it. That's where he'll be able to contribute right away for this team.
I mean, 2016 started alongside Reuben Foster. They were one of the more, you know, dominant defenses that year. You know, he tore his ACL in the SEC championship game, which, you know, to me, set him back, because he probably wouldn't have been a sixth-round pick if he didn't tear his ACL. And even we had Fred Spool on the show not too long ago. He thought that this kid was a steal. He thought potentially if this kid is all the way back, that he could be a guy down the road that could be a starting inside linebacker for the Washington Redskins. I like the pick. I think, to me, there's a guy who played in this team 2001. He eventually went to New York Giants, but in 2004 he started. He was moved to middle linebacker in the 4-3 under Greg Williams and Antonio Pierce. And I see similarities, because Antonio Pierce, people said at that point in time, he was too small to play a middle linebacker.
Too small and too slow.
But what Antonio Pierce had compared to what, if you look at what Nick Saban is saying about Hamilton, is that Antonio Smart was super smart. He was a guy that got people in the right right places in Greg Williams' defense. And also, he had a lot of tackles, and he was good in coverage in terms of dissecting a play and knowing what to do within his coverages. So when you listen to what Nick Saban has to say about a Dion Hamilton, you think to yourself, okay, you're comparable to an Antonio Pierce, which this team does need a team needs an inside linebacker who can hone that position.
No, I think if he develops and into what everyone is projecting that he could potentially be.
Yeah, because all about potential, right?
I think it's definitely a smart move by the front office, and could potentially be a steal for this team. You know, you get a middle linebacker for the next, you know, not including this year, but the next maybe 7-8 years, who could be a solid contributor to your team.
Yeah, and what you just gave up, a sixth rounder to get, and again, if he's healthy, and he's playing in Alabama, and you play again, you play in Alabama, meaning that you play a physical brand of football. You have to be smart playing with Nick Saban. Just can't be, especially I feel like in the front seven, right? I think Alabama's front seven, I won't say secondary. I think for like their secondaries tends to be a little bit meh in the NFL. But you, when you look at their front seven, those players typically produce. I wanted Ruben Foster last year, and you know he went to San Fran. And real quick on Ruben Foster, I always want to say this about athletes in general.
Okay.
Like they are now prey. And what happened to Ruben Foster? You know what happened to Ruben Foster, yeah. Right? Like with the lady lying, well, supposedly, allegedly, because we don't know if she was forced to lie, right? Or forced to say, you know, to retract her statement. We don't know if she was forced to retract her statement. But it just, I'm just saying, athletes are prey, because nowadays you can just say abuse or you can say whatever, and that can ruin a dude's paycheck or career.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's that's a fair statement to make, you know. Ruben
Again,
Foster,
if it's true,
we don't know or not. She gave the statement saying that she got into a fight, but there are some people who are saying, you know, who after reviewing the evidence think that it's mighty convenient with her statement and with some of the physical evidence that has been, you know, that's on display regarding her injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to cast aspersions.
No, I'm not saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Say she's lying or not. But I think this is definitely a warning for, you know, athletes. To me, it bugs me out. It blows my mind. You know, these guys have the rookie symposium.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all of these people around them who can provide counsel,
mm-hmm.
and they still put themselves in this position, which is crazy to me.
But, yeah.
You know, if Ruben Foster is innocent, then, you know, I hope he goes on and continues to have a productive career and provides for his family and lets this incident helps him put him on a smoother track. And, you know, he's vigilant around how he moves around and who he keeps around him.
No, I agree. On our Facebook page, I posed the question, could Sean Deion Hamilton be the next Antonio Pierce? George stated that at Alabama, he was a coach on the field. That's the highest compliment he could be given. I think if his knee holds up, we might have another Monty Coleman. Ooh, Monty Coleman.
Yeah,
I like
mean,
that
Monty
one.
Coleman
was solid.
He was solid.
Yeah, he was solid.
He was a very good leader for this team.
Yeah.
During their Super Bowl.
Their heyday. So yeah, George, I agree. If he could be a Monte Coleman, like they definitely hit the jackpot with Hamilton. But only time will tell. Like Will T always says, it's potential. You go all we can go off in terms of a young kid is potential.
Yep.
And that's not a proven commodity. That's just, you know, that's just saying, okay, well, we hope that this kid could turn out to be what we hope him to be. So, but anyway, it's time for a break. When we get back from break, we'll discuss if the Washington Capitals win it all, will they be the second best team in town? We'll talk about that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
Get
it?
Deuces. Before the world that laughed at me.
are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Will T is here. Ray is not. He's out, but hopefully next show we'll have Ray. We'll have the full roster, the three-man weave, right? Can we call it the three-man weave?
Yeah, it won't be next week, right?
It won't be next week. Yeah, it definitely won't be next week. You're right. But subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. All right, I mentioned this before the break. If the Caps win the Stanley Cup, where would they rank among DMV teams in terms of popularity?
I mean, I already think they're the second most popular team.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, look.
Ooh, I thought the Nats were second.
No, the Wizards.
I'm be real. I thought the Wizards were the second most popular team.
Nah, I don't think. I think the Wizards have the potential to be the second most popular team if they win.
Okay.
And if they consistently win, I would almost argue with you. I mean, if like championship, like competing for a championship,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would argue with you that if Washington was on the same trajectory that they have been on the past couple of years, they would be close to overtaking them.
Mm.
I would argue with, but no, I think they'll remain the spot that they are, the second most popular team, because they have a cult like following.
They do have a cult like following.
Expression from Ray.
That's actually yours. That's actually yours.
Yeah.
He just uses it.
They would have a cult like following. They have a cult like following now. It's just that they don't, the numbers, you know, the viewing numbers just don't reflect that on the TV. You know,
on TV, but at
TV
the game
viewership.
Yeah, but at the
but if you on, go to the game.
Oh my God!
You know, if you watch, and I don't watch hockey a lot. I don't watch hockey at all, but I do. You know, when I'm watching the highlights on,
of course, yeah,
the news or watching on ESPN, you see that a packed arena, and you see people jubilant, and you not only jubilant, but when they lose, you see people that emotion. You know.
Yeah,
affecting them. Those losses affecting them, much in the way that the Washington football team, you know.
Agreed. The passion's different.
Yeah, the passion's there. You know, on a Monday when they win, the city is a little bit more upbeat, jubilant.
Mm-hmm.
On a Monday after a loss, you know, people are down, you know. And some people sit by themselves and throw things at TVs and
You're talking the Redskins. Exactly. That's what happens when you watch Skins games back. You know, Skins games will do that to you. And Will is referring to me, and I'm not. And I,
do
and
that
I,
to you.
You're referring that to
everyone.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Will's referring to me. That does that to. That definitely does it to me. Like. Yes.
I never understood how can you break your own stuff.
That wasn't mine. I didn't actually break it. It wasn't mine. It was schools.
Okay, well, how can you break the stuff that's around you?
Yeah, you know, you're young.
Over again.
What's the term? Young and dumb?
Yeah,
exactly. Young and dumb. Now I don't break my own property. I just scream and yell. So I don't break my own property. I may, like, if something I feel like it's not as valuable, I may, like, just throw.
You chuck it?
Yeah, I'll chuck it. I'll throw it like crazy. I'll throw something.
I never understood that.
Yeah, man. Like, but I've learned to control myself. But you know what? I have to do. It's cool to do that in my own environment, right? Rather than doing that stupid crap outside. You see how emotional I get off of dumb crap? Like watching a freaking NBA Finals game.
I know we're getting off subject, but like, I don't understand the emotion and passion people have towards a game where it doesn't involve me or my loved ones.
You know, the NBA Finals thing is more fun for me.
Yeah, I get it. But just at this point in my life, as I grow up and I kind of assess things in life, I just don't get that emotionally attached to.
I haven't shook it yet. I will say this. I'm way better than I used to be. I don't get as riled up into it. I can get numb to certain things. I can get very numb to it. I think when something cool happens, you know, like anybody, you get overly excited. Like you start screaming, cussing, whatever. But I'm definitely numb to certain negative aspects in the sporting event nowadays. On Facebook, the question about the DMV teams, Aaron J says probably fourth, maybe third. But if they win, I guarantee I'm taking off and going to the parade.
I mean, that seems like a theme for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'll say this. Depending on how hot it is, because you know I don't do heat.
Yeah, oh, that's real talk, bro.
Yeah,
I don't do heat either. And depending
how
easy.
If it's like today.
Awesome, this is easy. It's on.
That's an easy decision. I'm down there and, you know, I'm enjoying it. I'm taking it all in. But anything over 80, 80,
285? Nah, I'm gonna sit this one out.
And it has to be metro accessible for me. I'm not driving.
It has to be metro accessible, yeah. And I have to find somewhere with a decent amount of shade.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But luckily it hasn't been that bad of a summer in terms of being super hot.
No, it hasn't. But I'm just telling you, if it's over 82, nah.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, no, I agree. You know, I hate humidity. No, I forget, to be honest with you, if it's not humid, I'm good. It's the humidity that kills me. I don't know about you, but when it's humid, it kills me.
Yeah, humidity and heat also. You know?
Yeah. You've been to Miami, bro, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. But this is the thing. When I go to Miami, I typically stay indoors until night.
I respect that.
I stay indoors until, you know, like some people like to go to Wet Willie's and sit outside.
I don't do that. I hate that crap.
I'm not drinking in the sun, in the heat.
It's stupid.
I don't get that.
I'm always like, I like being dark, but that makes me extra dark. I'm cool with that. You know, I'm not cool with that. Like, I don't like, and to be honest with you, like, I don't, last time I don't like Vegas that much.
Dry heat.
Oh, man, I can't stand that crap. It's too hot for me. Vegas is too hot. I was like, yeah, you trying to go to Vegas? I was like, nah, man. Why you hate it so much?
Look, when it's cool here, I would have no problem going to a place like Miami, Vegas, you know, because, you know, it's not going to be too hot.
Yeah. But
during the summer.
It's 10 times worse, man. It's 10 times worse.
You can save it.
Yeah, you can have it.
I'll be indoors. Like, I tell people, I mean, even now, I tell people now, they invite me to cookouts. I tell them all the time, I don't go anywhere until the sun comes down.
I respect that, man.
I just don't.
No, I respect that. I don't like
that. I love to ride my bike, but I do that, you know, when it's cooler.
Yeah.
The first thing in the morning or when, you know, the sun's about to go down.
No, I'm with that, bro. I'm so with that. I'm not for this. I'm not for the heat. That's not my thing. And I'm African. I should be, but I'm not.
I'm not gonna comment on that one.
Anyway, it's time to wrap this show up, man. We appreciate y'all for listening to us. I want to appreciate Ed for calling in and talking Caps with us again. Let's go Caps. Let's bring the Stanley Cup to the city. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, man.